Wow, sometimes it takes a mountain. Second verse of that song, I hope you paid attention to the words. It may go right in with the message this morning. But I'm thankful that even though whatever mountain comes in my life, no matter what it takes for me to turn my eyes toward God, that God is always there for me. And then as our teenagers were singing this morning, and they were doing their little whatever it was they was doing, I don't know. Yeah, woo, that was good to hear. That's the closest thing I've heard to a shout in Fellowship Baptist Church in a long time. So during that second song, there should have been a whole lot more wooing going on. Because I'll tell you what, God has been good to us. Each and every one of us, God has been good to us. If you will, take your Bibles, turn with me to Jonah. Jonah chapter number 3 is where we'll be taking the first portion of our reading from this morning. I'm looking forward to getting into the message. I ask for you to be much in prayer as we do. I feel this is a message that God has been working on me with all week, and maybe just coming right off of last Sunday's message. And I know last Sunday my mind got blowed when I gave you the wrong scripture. I said Luke chapter number 21, when in fact it was Luke chapter number 12, and that really bothered me. I like to know what I'm doing. I like to have a plan. I don't like to mess up. But you know, it's not about me and what I do or my strength or my perfection or anything else. It's all about God's Holy Spirit. And I ask that y'all will pray that today that I won't make mistakes, that I will be obedient to God, that God will guard my lips, and I'll preach exactly what He has given me to preach. A very powerful message in my life as God was giving it to me this week. And I trust if you'll give me just about 20 minutes of your time this morning, maybe 30. But if you'll give me about 20 minutes of your time this morning, I'll do my best to give you what God has given me, and then we'll go home after that. So clear your mind of everything else that's going on in your life right now, and let's listen for what God has in store for us. How many have your Bibles with you this morning? Amen. I know we put it up on the screen. I know that our digital media team is wonderful to have our scripture up for us, but this is the best tool in your toolbox that you have. Many of you sitting in here this morning have a concealed weapon permit. That's wonderful. I'm glad you do. Many of you let me know time and time again that you'd rather be caught with it and not need it than need it and not have it. That's wonderful. You know what? This is a better tool than any gun that you can put on your side. Hey, I'm thankful. I'm a believer in the Second Amendment. I'm a believer in carrying concealed. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. That's just who I am. That's personal. That's not Bible. That's personal. But I'm a believer in all of those things. But I want to tell you what, more importantly than picking up any 9mm, any more importantly than picking up any tool that you may carry to work with you every single day, we should carry this tool with us everywhere that we go. I want to encourage you to carry your Bible with you everywhere that you go, and even to church on Sunday morning, even though it's given to us. If you will, stand with me. Let's read from the book of Jonah, chapter number 3. I ask you again to be much in prayer. Listen to what God's word has to say to us this morning. Jonah chapter number 3, let's begin reading with verse number 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. God, we thank you for your word and the power that's in your word. God, I want to thank you for being here with us this morning. We ask your spirit, God, just to be fully evolved in this place, God. I pray that you'll just help us, God, to take everything that's on our mind and our hearts from last week, to take our feelings and our emotions and cast those aside, and just to open up, God, and let you speak to us this morning. God, we thank you most of all for your son, Jesus Christ, and the willingness that he had to come and to give his life for mine. We thank you and praise you for salvation. And in Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we get into the book of Jonah, a very familiar scripture, very familiar story or event in God's word. Many of us have heard this story or this event since we were tiny coming to Sunday school. And let me plug Sunday school while I'm there. Bring your kids to Sunday school. I want to tell you something. That is one of the best places in the world for them to learn about Jesus Christ, for them to learn the stories, the events that are in God's word, for them to learn the songs that we all learned as we were coming up, and that sometimes we still go down the road. You know, there's times in my life that I still go down the road and I think about those little songs that I learned in Sunday school. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Those little things that were implanted in my life as a young boy, those things still come back to me. So I encourage you to bring your kids to Sunday school, and it won't hurt you at all either. I promise you that. But as we're together this morning and we're looking at this very familiar event in God's Word of Jonah, and we know how that God instructed Jonah to go into Nineveh. And look here in chapter number 3 and verse number 1 through verse number 3 again. And as we read it again, the Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." Now, as we see those verses this morning, and we see Jonah's response to what God had told him to do, what God had instructed him, God said, "I want you to go down to Nineveh and I want you to preach." And there in verse number 3, the Bible says, "So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh." As you know, that Jonah went, he didn't have any love for the people of Nineveh whatsoever. The Assyrians were who lived in Nineveh, and Jonah did not care about the Assyrians that lived in Nineveh. Jonah did not want them to find mercy. Jonah did not want to go and deliver them the message that God had given him to give them. So as Jonah went down to Nineveh, as the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and Jonah went down to Nineveh, we know that in chapter number 3 that the king there in Nineveh, that he responded to Jonah's preaching. That the king there in Nineveh, he called for everyone to repent, to set in sackcloth and ashes, and to seek the Lord and to pray that God would change what he had sent, the word that he had sent unto him. So we find there in Nineveh that the people found mercy in the eyes of the Lord, that the people, because of the way that they responded unto the preaching of Jonah, that Jonah was able to deliver a message, and God said, "You know what? I'm not going to change my mind. I'm going to deal with these people differently than what I had sent." The message that he sent was not what God did. And we find that because Jonah was willing to obey the will of the Lord and go down to Nineveh and preach the gospel that God had given him, or preach the message that God had given him. But we also know that this is not the end or the beginning of the story. Let's turn to Jonah chapter number 1 and let's find the beginning of this story. Very familiar to us. And as we go into Jonah chapter number 1, and we see in verse number 1, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into the Lord." So in verse number 1 and verse number 2, we see very plainly what God's will was for Jonah to do. God came to Jonah and he said, "I want you to go down unto Nineveh and I want you to cry against that city. Their wickedness has come before me and I'm going to go and destroy that city." So as Jonah received that, again, he had no love for the people of Nineveh. And he said, "You know what? I don't think I'm going to listen to what the Lord has to say. I think I'm going to do something else other than what God wants me to do." And telling right off of last week's message, I don't know if any of you even remember it. I don't know maybe if you've had a chance to chew on it any since last Sunday. But last Sunday we were talking about how that God will allow us to exercise our will over His will in our lives. We see here in Jonah chapter number 1, verses 1 and 2, what God's will was for Jonah to go down to Nineveh and to preach against Nineveh. So we see here in verse number 3, "But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish." Here again, we know God's will is for Jonah to go. Jonah's will is to say no. And he rises up and flees to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. So as Jonah goes and he exercises his will, he obeys what he wants to do instead of following the will of the Lord. Ain't it amazing, again, as we spoke last Sunday, how that God can make us do anything that he wanted to make us do, but instead he decides to allow us to exercise our will over his will. However, we know that as Jonah went and got on this ship going down to Tarshish, that we know that he was on that ship, that the Bible tells us that God sent a storm his way, And there the mariners that are on the ship with him, they're all out there and they're fighting. They're all out there and they're struggling through the night. They're out there and they're doing their best to keep this ship afloat and trying to figure out why in the world we're in the middle of this storm. This storm must have been something amazing. It must have been something terrible in order for the mariners not to think that it was just a regular old storm, but yet they knew that this storm had a purpose. And as Jonah is there on this ship, as Jonah is there and he is out of God's will, he has chosen his will over the will of the Lord, and this storm comes along, let us continue reading and see where Jonah's at. Verse number 5, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares. They start throwing stuff overboard that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Jonah had went down into the ship. He was out of the will of God. He had made choices that was his will instead of God's will. He had caused people. I want you to notice that when we do that in our lives, that it doesn't just affect us. Many times I think it affects people around us first in our lives. Many times I think there's people around us that are affected by our choice to be out of the will of God before it even affects us. But here Jonah is, and he's down in this ship and he's asleep as the mariners are up there and they're chucking stuff overboard. They're trying to get this ship to float. They're trying to make it through this storm. It is so terrible that they know there's a purpose behind this storm. And then we find Jonah in the bottom of the ship asleep. We find him down there and he is at peace. He is at rest. He is in a place that, you know, everything, even though all of these people are being affected by his poor choices, all these people are being affected by his decision to follow his will instead of following God's will. Everybody else is being affected, and yet Jonah is in the bottom of the ship asleep. You say, well, what's your point, preacher? I want you to know something this morning, that in the time that I have been a pastor, in the time that I've been a preacher, in the time that I have been a person that some people seek some spiritual advice from, there have been many times that people have come to me and they've said, I have chosen to make this decision in my life. I have chosen that I'm going to go this way. I have chosen that this is okay. I have chosen to make this decision for me and my family. I have chosen this. And I want you to know they've come to me and they've said, I have prayed about it, and I have peace about it, and I'm going to make this choice. Now, many times, church, I just want to be honest with you. Many times I try to be really vague in what I say. Many times I try to beat around the bush. Many times I try to be in a place where I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I'm going to get real with you this morning. I want to get real with me this morning. Because I want you to know that even though that God will allow us to make our choices and God will allow us to be in a place that where we feel at peace with that choice, even as Jonah was in the bottom of that ship, everybody else around him was fighting to survive. Everybody else was around him and they were like, we know something's going on. But yet Jonah is down there and he says, but I'm at peace with it. I'm good with it. I've prayed about it. And even though I know that I'm out of God's will, even though that I know that I've made a bad decision, everything's okay, and I'm going to go down here in the bottom of the ship and I'm going to go to sleep. I want you to know something. You can come to me and say, I've prayed about it and I've got peace about it. You can go to God and you can say, God, I know that when your law was written in your word, or when your commandments were written in your word, or when your wants for my life was written in your word, that this wasn't the century that we live in. It wasn't the day and the time that we live in. And God, I know that that's old, and I know that things have changed, and you can try to make any excuse that you want to so that you can lay down and go to sleep, so that you can be at peace with it, so that you can say, well, I'm going to make this choice and I believe that God's okay with it. But I want you to know this morning that God's will has not changed, that God's rule has not changed, that God's commandments have not changed. And if we're still, it doesn't matter whether you're at peace or not with it, if it's out of God's will, it is out of God's will. You say, well, preacher, I don't understand what you're getting at. I don't know what you're saying to me. I want you to know something. Let me use this for an example. Many, many parents that we know, and I'm not speaking specifically of parents in our church, but I'm talking about just out here in the world. Many people, many parents that we know, we can talk to them. And they say, well, when I was growing up, I made a profession of faith. When I was growing up, I went to church. I went to Sunday school. I remember I got saved. I was baptized. And somewhere along their life, they've got out of church. Somewhere along their life, their decisions have become more about their choices and their wills other than the will of God in their life. And they're out here doing just whatever. And you know what has happened? They're looking, they'll say, but I'm at peace with it because I know that I got saved when I was a youngster. That I know that I got saved when I was a child, and everything is okay between me and God. But I want you to know something. It doesn't matter whether they think that God is okay with it. I seen a little post on Facebook the other day. I know I crunch Facebook a whole lot, but I seen one the other day. If your God says it's okay to do sin, then you're not serving the same God that I'm serving. Because it doesn't matter whether it's your sin or my sin. It doesn't matter whether it's big sin or little sin. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. Jesus Christ had to die for all of them. And all sin puts distance between us and God. Amen. That's Bible. That's not my opinion. That's Bible this morning. And we know these parents have went out and they've made these decisions that they're going to go with their choice. They're going to go with their will instead of what the will of God is in their lives. While their kids are watching, while their families are watching, while their friends are watching, and everybody else is struggling around them, everybody else around them is going, what's going on? They tell me that we should acknowledge God. They tell me that we should pray to God. They tell me that I should know that there is a God, and I could even get saved at some point in my life. But my parents, my people around me, my friend, whoever it is, their life is showing that their choices is more important than the God's will in their life. Their life is showing me that it doesn't matter, and they're just at peace with it. Well, I'm over here struggling with it. Well, I don't know what to do with it. While I'm maybe, listen to me, there are many, many parents who got saved at a young age. They're making choices now that is about their will instead of the will of God. They're living a life that is about their will instead of God's will for their life. And their kids, I want to put this blunt to you, are going to die and go to hell because they've never been told who Jesus Christ really is. That's not a boastful statement. That is a heartbreaking statement. For parents to know that I love God, and in my teenage years or in my child years, I accepted Christ as my Savior, but my will is so important to me. My choices is so important to me that it doesn't matter what God's will is. I'm not going to go and teach my kids about Jesus. I'm going to teach them about God. I'm going to teach them that they should respect God. I'm going to teach them that they can have prayer with God and they can ask God for help. But they are never going to teach them that God's word, that His will and His statutes should be first in their life. It's never taught as a priority. We're leaving kids. We're leaving friends. We're leaving family confused about who God is and our relationship with Him. We're out here living and doing anything we want to do. We're saying anything we want. Oh, preacher, I don't do that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for you, because I think one of the worst things for the church today, and when I say that, I'm talking about for the church to be able to have newborn believers to come into the church, is people out here living and doing whatever they want to, leaving a lost and a dying world confused about who God is and what Jesus Christ will do for them. I believe that is one of the most devastating things for the opportunity for people to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We're leaving them confused, so I want to be very blunt with you this morning. I want to be very straight with you this morning. The impact that you're having on your children, the impact that you're having on your friends, the impact that I'm having on my children, the impact that I'm having on my friends could be eternal when I don't follow God's will in my life. When I'm not seeking, when I choose my choices over God's choices, when I choose my will over God's will, I'm leaving them confused about who God is, what Jesus will do for them. I want you to know that I think we would be so much better off that when our friends come to us and say, hey, don't you go down to Fellowship Baptist Church. Don't you say that you're a Christian. Don't you? Then why in the world are you doing this? And why in the world are you doing that? I didn't think God wanted you to do that. I'm a little confused. Instead of leaving them confused, won't you just stop and say, listen, let me tell you something right now. I am out of the will of God. That's not what God wants for my life. Oh, that hurts us, don't it? That hurts to stop and go, hey, I'm out of the will of God. You know, watch what Jonah has to do. Let's continue reading. I'm sorry, I got off track a little bit here. No, I'm not off track. I'm right on track where God wants me, but I got off pace a little bit. So verse number 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if it be so that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil has come upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And I want you to listen to his answer. He is still claiming who he really is, just like we do. And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. Now, does he really fear the Lord? No. He's choosing his will over God's will. He's choosing his want over God's want. Well, preacher, you just don't understand the circumstance that I was in. God don't expect me to be miserable. God don't expect me to be an outcast. God don't expect me to be the one that's different than everybody else. God don't expect, you know what we're doing? We're doing just like Jonah, and we're saying we fear the Lord, but we don't trust the Lord. We fear the Lord, but we're not going to put all of our hope in him. We fear the Lord, but we don't want his will in our life. We want our will over him. His will. And I'm guilty this morning, church. This is not a message to you. This is a message that God has given us this morning. How important is the will of God in your life? It's got to be more important than your will for yourself. Amen. Then they said unto him, verse number 9, and he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. He's acknowledging God. He knows who God is. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them, if you are out of the will of God, if I am out of the will of God, I know it. There's no question. You say, well, preacher, I prayed about it, and I've got peace with it. You know what? The Bible tells me that my own heart will deceive me. And it's not about what my heart feels. It's not about what my mind feels. It's not what about the shallowest part of me feels, and that's my emotions. My emotions are the shallowest part of me, and we do our best to satisfy our emotions all the time. But it is about the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of me. And if you will be honest, if you are out of the will of God, if you've made choices that have put you out of the will of God, I don't care whether you say you're at peace with it or not. If you're out of God's will, you're out of God's will. Quit confusing everybody and saying, oh, I've done this and I know this. And it's not about that. God's will is God's will. I got to continue on. Verse number 10. I said 20 minutes. Then were the men exceedingly afraid. Verse number 11. Then they said unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea raw and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land. But they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. I want you to notice what happened. When Jonah finally says, look, it's my fault. I know it's my fault. You got to throw me in the sea or this is going to keep going. You got to throw me overboard. That's the only way that this is going to happen. He's let them know that he's out of the will of God, and now he's ready to take the penalty for it. Now he's ready to say, okay, throw me overboard. But I want you to notice what everybody around him did. The Bible says that the mariners rowed hard, that they worked hard, and they done everything they could to keep Jonah on board. They knew that throwing him overboard was a death sentence. They knew that throwing him overboard, that he would never make it. So they began to row hard and try to help him to survive. And you know what? Some of you that may have been out of the will of God at some point in time in your life, when I have been out of the will of God at some point in my life, the people around me that were being affected, they were working hard to try to help me. They were doing everything that they could do to try to help me to either be back in the will of God or help me just to survive where I was at, and they were the ones that were suffering because I was out of the will of God. There was nothing that they could do to help me. The only way that I could get help from God was from God. Verse number 14, wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us the innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. The men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. So now that Jonah has admitted that he's out of the will of God, he's admitted that the only way for this storm to stop is to throw him overboard. Now that everybody else has done everything they could around them, it has come down to a personal thing with Jonah. It has come down to now he's got to take personal responsibility. It's time that we as Christians take responsibility for our relationship with God. Quit blaming it on everybody else. Quit blaming it on, well, you just don't know the world that we live in. You just don't know the temptation that I'm in. You just don't know the situation. You just don't know what my marriage was. You just don't know all these different things. But yet God does, and the thing of it is we've made choices that have brought us out of the will of God. It is time for us to stop and take personal responsibility for where we're at with God. Quit blaming everybody else. Hey, some of you have worked with people before that no matter what happened at the shop, no matter what happened in the office, there was always something. Oh, I was meant to do that. Oh, I was going to do that, but so-and-so, I was going to. And there's always an excuse. Stop with the excuses. God knows. And you know, if you've made choices that are out of the will of God, God knows. When I make choices that are out of the will of God, God knows my life. God knows my decisions. And I want you to notice what happens in verse number 17 when Jonah is ready to take that personal responsibility. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Here comes a well of mercy, Jonah's way. Now we don't know that it was a well. I have no clue what this fish was. But the Bible says that the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. You know what? When you finally get to the place, and when I finally get to the place that I say, God, I'm sorry. I know that I'm out of your will. God, I know it's me. It's nobody else. It's not the Assyrians. It's not the mariners on the ship. It's not this person or that person. God, it is me, and I'm out of your will because of choices that I have made. My will was more important to me than your will. And God, it is all on me, and I'm going to get out here, and I'm going to get singled out like I need to be, God. And God said, look, God could have let him drown. God could have said, you're going to the bottom of the ocean. God could have said, the storm is going to take you under. God could have done whatever he wanted to, but God said, I've got a well of mercy coming your way. I've got something coming your way. Now listen, this mercy wasn't easy. As you continue to read, you'll find that as Jonah, as he is in the belly of this great fish, and if I mess up and say well, I'm not trying to be unbiblical, but I've heard well all my life. I may say well here in just a minute, but as Jonah is in the belly of this great fish, and you can imagine what his surrounding was like. You can imagine how stinky it was. You can imagine how terrible it was. And if you go and you read, you can even see that Jonah said, out of the belly of hell that I cried. And your mercy may not be fun. Your mercy may not be like the mercy that we think that we're going to experience. We think with mercy that, oh, God's just going to hold us. And God's just going to comfort us. And God's just going to love us. And sometimes it is. And I thank God for the times that it is. But there's been times that God's had mercy on me that it hurt. God had mercy on me when I should have, and when the things that happened in me during that time of mercy, they hurt. They spiritually hurt. They physically hurt. They emotionally hurt. But it was all still God's mercy. And as Jonah is in there, and as he's crying out, and the Bible says once again that he said, out of the belly of hell, the Bible says that he sought God, that he found God, that God forgave him. And I want you to see what happened. That fish vomited him out. Hey, I bet Jonah never stopped one time in his life and said, one day I'm going to praise the Lord that I'm fish vomit. I bet Jonah had never thought about that. But you know what? There's been times that I've come out of a situation that God had mercy on me, and when it was all said and done, I felt like fish vomit because I had failed God. My will was more important than his will. My choice was more important than his will. And I got myself out of shape with God. I got myself in a place that I shouldn't have been. And I had to seek the Lord. Now, I was kind of like Jonah. I didn't seek the Lord until it impacted me. While it was impacting everybody else around me and I was asleep, it didn't really bother me. But there came a day that it impacted me just like it did Jonah. And Jonah, when it impacted him, he began to seek the Lord. And there's been times in my life when I had to say, God, I'm seeking you. I don't know where I'm at right now, God. I don't know. I'm in this dark place. I'm in a place that I don't want to be. And God had mercy on me. Yeah, maybe it was painful mercy. Maybe it was good mercy. But no matter the way, God had mercy on me. And when I came out as fish vomit, I was thankful that I was fish vomit. Because I want to tell you what I deserved. I deserved for the belly of hell to be real to me. I deserved for hell to be real to me. You say, well, preacher, the Bible says that you're saved by grace, not by works. And preacher, but you want to know something? How awful. A God that loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son for us. And in a time that we know that we have a need in our life that we can't satisfy, we fall down on our knees and say, God, I need you. God, forgive me of my sins. And then our will is more important than his in our life. And you know what? It's a good thing I'm not God. Because if I was God and you did that to me, you'd go to hell. Preacher, that's terrible. Can I be honest? If you were God and I did that to you or to your family, you'd say, uh-uh. I'm not having mercy on you no more. I don't want you with me no more. But yet every single time God has had mercy on me when my will was more important than his will in my life. Church, I don't know why God sent this again this morning. I don't know why that maybe it's that important to us. And you say, well, is it that important? Why would you spend two Sundays on this? Well, I believe personally, after doing this study for a couple of weeks, I believe personally that Christian people who are choosing their will over God's will is the root of the problem with the church being lukewarm today. 100%. And you say, well, what do you mean? I thought that maybe this would be or that would be. And anything that you can point to and say this would be or that would be, it comes back to people choosing their will over God's will in their life. And I believe it is solely responsible for the lack of church attendance. I believe that it is the root of the problem of lack of church attendance, the root of the problem when sin separates us from God. I believe that it is the root of the problem when our teenagers are brought up in church. They've heard the Word of God. They know the Word of God. They know the will of God in their life. And yet when they reach 16 or 17 years old and they walk out of those doors and mom and daddy lose the control of them and mom and daddy lose the ability to grab them and say, you are going to church, while they don't darken a church door again, it's because they have chosen for their will to be overpowering of God's will in their life. And the reason that I believe that happens so many times is that's what we have exposed them to the whole time we've been raising them. I know that hurts. It hurts me. It hurts so bad when I think about when I get up on Sunday mornings and I preach and I talk about seeking the will of God. What do my family see Monday through Saturday? What do my friends at work see Monday through Friday when I'm with them? What does everybody that's around me see? Do they see me seeking the will of God? Or is it what I want in my life? I don't know what yours is. I ain't even going to go to putting examples out there. But there's something in your life that's your will that you have to fight over God's will in your life. Jonah chapter number 3 and verse number 10. I will stop. I'll be done. And God saw their works. Listen, after Jonah went and delivered the message, the king repented. The whole Nineveh repented. I want you to see what happened. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented. Don't mistake that. That is not God made a mistake and he repented. God never makes mistakes. Never. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. The ultimate plan, Nineveh was still destroyed years later because they went right back to what they began to choose their will again. But I want you to know what happened. That because it's not that God changed his ultimate intention for Nineveh, but rather they changed their attitude towards God, and the result was he could deal with them in grace instead of judgment. He could deal with them in grace instead of judgment. Listen, Jonah received mercy. I've received mercy many, many times. I'm not saying this to scare you. I'm not saying this to be a Debbie Downer gospel. I'm not saying that at all. But if you are a true, born-again child of God, and you continue to choose your will over God's will in your life, God will get your attention. Oh, preacher, I just don't believe that. God is such a God of love and such a God of mercy. Well, you've seen what mercy had for Jonah, don't you? He ended up being fish vomit. So sometimes, yeah, but I want you to know something. If my will continues, Hannah, if you will, come on. Will you sing that second verse of that song you sung again, please? If I continue to live a life that my will supersedes God's will in my life, and can I just tell you that That's a daily struggle. Hey, I'm not going to walk out of here today and go, God's will is most important to me, and everything just be wonderful from now on. You know what? Monday morning, I'm going to have to get up and go, God, I'm seeking your will today. And I won't even have to wait till Tuesday morning. Sometime Monday afternoon, I'll have to stop and say, God, I'm seeking your will today. God, help me to seek your will. Help your will to be more important than my will. And sometime Monday night, I'll have to stop again and say, God, I failed today at finding your will for every aspect of my day today. God, forgive me and help me to seek your will even more for the rest of tonight and tomorrow. It's a daily, I don't want to call it a grind, but it's a daily commitment, an hourly commitment, sometimes a minute-by-minute commitment. God, your will is more important than mine. And when we get to the place that my will supersedes his to a certain point in our life, God will get our attention. Whether you want to call that judgment, whether you want to call that correction, whatever you want to call it, God will get my attention. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me let you know something. That you're in the right place this morning to find God's will. He said it was not his will that any should perish. He said that whosoever would call upon his name shall be saved. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, his will for you today is to come and to know him as your personal Savior, to ask forgiveness of your sins and allow him to wash you white as snow and allow him to come into your life. That's his will for you. Christians, where are you at? Are you in his will or are you in your will? Is your choice more important than his will? Well, preacher, I'm not out here drinking. I'm not doping. I ain't chasing other people around. Preacher, I'm not doing that. It doesn't matter. Because you know what? I come to church on Sunday morning. I come to church on Wednesday night. I study my Bible during the week. I preach to you guys on Sunday morning. I teach to you on Wednesday night. And there's still times in my life when I have to look and say, my will just superseded God's will in my life. I just messed up. I just know that I made my choice more important than what God wanted. And I find myself in that situation so many times. And I have to stop and say, God, it's me. I'm the one out of your will. And before I could preach this message this morning, I had to get down on my knees and say, God, I know that it's me. I know that I have been Jonah. I know that I've been the one that made choices that was against your will. God, forgive me. Help me to find that mercy. God, I pray that you'll forgive me. I've been there. I've done that. Maybe you're here this morning, you're a Christian, you're saying, preacher, that's me. I'm struggling. I've made choices that I know is not the will of God. I sometimes struggle daily with making those choices. I don't want my will to supersede God's will. I want to find the grace of God. I want God to be able to deal with me in grace and not deal with me in judgment. Preacher, will you pray for me? I need some strength. God, I need some help. Preacher, you pray that I will seek God's will in my life. Would anybody just slip up your hand and say, preacher, pray. I see hands all over the sanctuary. All over the sanctuary. God, your will is important to me. Would you just say that? Would you just slip up your hand and say, God, your will is important to me? Amen. Hands all over the sanctuary. God, I thank you and I praise you for all that you do. God, you know me. God, you know me better than anybody in here knows me. God, you know that I need this message this morning. Yeah, God, I do my best to live a life that pleases you. But you and I know, God, you and I know that sometimes my will supersedes yours. God, you and I know that sometimes your will is not that important to me. God, you know that there's people around me being affected because I'm choosing to be more important than you. And God, I pray that you'll forgive me. God, I pray that you'll help me to be in your will. God, pray for our church, God. God, I pray for some that may be in here this morning. Maybe they're already mad at me because of the message. Maybe they're already upset with me because they feel like, God, that I'm calling them out. But God, I believe you've called us all out this morning. God, I assure you that I'm not calling anyone out. God, each and every one of us have things in our life that we need to surrender to you. But God, help us to always preach truth and to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. As you stand to your feet this morning, God, as God has allowed us this opportunity of an invitation, this altar is open. Hey, I know this is going to sound ugly, but maybe you need to be fish vomit this morning. Maybe you need to say, you know what, it doesn't matter. I don't care what my son thinks about me. I don't care what my wife thinks about me. I don't care what my kids think about me. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. I need to go and talk to the Lord. Here's your opportunity. And this altar is open as she sings.
Far from you, Jesus, I thought I could control whatever life would throw my way. But this I will admit has brought me to my knees. I need you, Lord, and I'm not ashamed to say. Sometimes it takes a mountain, sometimes a troubled sea, sometimes it takes a desert. Trust you and believe.
Amen. I believe that's been sufficient for this morning. But it's not sufficient for my prayer life with God. Find some time this afternoon, tonight, whenever it is that you want to get along with God and seek God's will. Well, preacher, I just can't never find God's will. Well, how much are you seeking it? How much are you looking for it? We want God's will to go poof. And we go, there's God's will. I'm afraid it don't happen like that. Maybe it will for you. If it does, you pray for me that I'll see my poof and I'll be able to follow God's will. Sure enough, church, let me ask you to do this for me. Pray for me as your pastor. Man, I want to know what God's will is. I want to know what God's will is for our teens. I want to know what God's will is for our Sunday school. I want to know what God's will is in here. Because here's the thing of it is, when we get to where God wants us to be, God will trust us. And he will send people here that need Jesus Christ, and we will see souls saved. Number one goal, to see people come to know Jesus Christ. Number one goal. Thank you for being here this morning. I appreciate you. I love you. I'm not going to the back door. I'll see you Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Oh, by the way, some of you don't know, we have service Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. If you can be here, we invite you to be here.